Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The APA
has removed gender identity disorder from its list of mental disorders and has instead placed gender dysphoria on the list. That means if you are a man who thinks you're a woman or vice versa and aren't comfortable with that, then it's considered a mental disorder. However, if you're comfortable to be sexually confused, there's no problem with your mental state if you're comfortable with that. And that's all according to the APA. So increasingly, we see the powers to be affirming those sexually confused individuals. Examples of that are that some sports are allowing men who think they're women on women's teams. Nassau Community College in California is allowing a 50-year-old man to play on the women's basketball team. And George Washington University is also considered that. I'm not sure if they passed that or not or approved it. More than likely they have. But there was also a motion voted on to amend the LPGA's constitution by removing the, quote, female at birth, unquote, requirement, and tons of other lunacy out there. But what took place in Minnesota is even worse. My guest will explain the whole situation there. Linda Harvey is the president of Columbus, Ohio-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for being with us.
Thanks, Diane, for having me on.
And what's your, besides being a homophobe and all that stuff homosexual actors throw at you, what does Mission America do? Which you are not, by the way, but they tend to label those who don't agree with them.
Right. Those are the hateful labels given to us, you, myself, many other people, which are not true. It's kind of the opposite. Now, Mission America is an organization we've now been around for 20 years. Time just flies, but really started after I became a Christian and a conservative after being a liberal agnostic and kind of on the other side of some of these issues. And then I got more information, not less, and I changed my heart and my mind and decided to get involved. And so we've been covering a lot of issues, but the one that we do the most on is homosexuality, because it sure seems that these folks are determined and aggressive, mm-hmm. and becoming more so.
Yeah, absolutely. You wrote a November 30th article. It's up on WorldNet Daily's website, WND.com, and it is entitled Boys on the Girls Teams, and there's a question mark. That was a question. And that specifically looked at the Minnesota situation. So what has happened, because we are taping this the day after the vote comes down, so we know the conclusion of the question you're throwing out there in your article about Minnesota. What happened in Minnesota?
Well, Minnesota, bigger picture, Minnesota has been targeted deliberately by a whole host of federal agencies and homosexual activist groups, starting with Outfront Minnesota there in Minnesota. But then the Southern Poverty Law Center's been in there, the Department of Justice, the Federal Department of Education, all have come down in various ways on their anti-bullying policies, forcing them to get in, you know, implement pro-homosexual teaching and pro-cross-dressing teaching to kids and teachers, and hiring staff to do it, just knuckling them under. I think they are being made an example of. Well, this latest thing is one more chapter in this horrible book. And the chapter is that the Minnesota High School League, which is an agency that oversees sports, all sports, both public and private and religious schools in Minnesota, suddenly was coming out with this a few months back, this proposal to eliminate the gender differences, again, gender identity, and admit people to the opposite sex sports teams if these kids were confused.
And this is high school. We're talking high school. I mean, this is not college or the National Golf, whatever that group is called.
Right.
These are kids.
Right. This is high school, and it does, it ends up applying to all schools, and I'll just explain how that happens in a minute. But then this got out, and it was going to be just a small meeting, and I think they were just going to put a rubber stamp on it because so many of these schools are being told by attorneys, oh, yes, this is federal law now. It's not federal law. Mm-hmm. This is really important for people to understand. And the schools are really knuckling under to their fear of either, again, the Department of Education and Department of Justice coming in and doing what they already did in Minnesota, or them getting big, expensive lawsuits.
Yeah.
But it is not federal law. It is not federal law. So they were considering this, and then all the bunch of parents under, there's a group up there that are well organized and a great example for anybody who wants to do this in their state. The Child Protection League, they got involved. They put a full-page ad out in the Minneapolis Star Tribune and said, a male wants to shower beside your 14-year-old daughter. Are you okay with that? And this meeting was packed. It had all kinds of people. They got 10,000 emails.
10,000? They got 10,000.
Of course, the Minneapolis papers are saying, they weren't saying how many were on the side objecting to it. The vast majority came right after this ad, so you know what the vast majority were. But that's what they were considering, and the thing that people are thinking, there's so many problems here, but a Washington Post story highlighting all this before, again, the decision came down, they found that the transgender activists say that there are fewer than 10 students a year in school around the country.
10 students a year?
10 that want to go to another team. So what's going on here? This is a much bigger issue and a bigger agenda, and of course we know that's happening because these transgender issues are popping up everywhere in December. And the city of this whole past year, but especially in December, the cities are passing them. We have one in Cleveland. We all heard about the one in Houston. Mm-hmm. The one in Miami-Dade, they just passed one. But it's also in the school system.
Well, and they're doing it. They're doing it at Christmas time. I know they did that in Scranton. Here in Pennsylvania, they did that in Scranton. Christmas time, they passed a homosexual special rights ordinance several years ago. But they're specifically doing that because they know pretty much people aren't paying attention because of the hectic schedule with Christmas coming up and all the other stuff that's going on in December. That's why they specifically tarred using that time frame, just like Congress in the lame duck session, you know, and all that they're doing. They have a gym. So the school is being told, or these individuals on this athletic, who made this decision, well, the schools in general, but specifically they're being told that it is federal law that they must allow boys or girls teams?
They must allow these transgendered identities, and they're now trying to apply this to sports.
But that's not federal law. That's not federal law.
It's not federal law. What there is on the federal DOE, Department of Education website, there are several opinions, dear colleague letters from Arne Duncan, and these came out, you know, in 2010 and 2011, and I see the hand of Kevin Jennings, who's now left there, but he's a homosexual activist. Mm-hmm. People might recognize his name as the founder of the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. He was the Safe Schools Czar appointed under Obama, and before he left, kind of threw up his hands and said, I've had enough of all you people criticizing me and, you know, praise the Lord. But he did a lot of stuff activism-wise to implement the Obama executive order, just decreeing that things are law, they're not law.
Right. But they're being advertised, so to speak, as being the law, and you're getting out front Minnesota and the SPLC and all those radical groups telling school districts that, like you mentioned a little bit ago, they're telling school districts this is federal law, and school districts don't have, well, in the case of Minnesota, like you said, they have been targeted and they have been put through the ringer by the DOJ and SPLC, who sued the one school district, and of course Arne Duncan with the U.S. Department of Education is right there rooting for them all, that they forced Minnesota schools to buy into this transgender agenda.
Right, and what's happening, we have in Ohio, we had a very prestigious law firm, an attorney firm there, tell the Ohio School Boards Association, a convention of those folks, the same thing, the advice that you really now have to admit both teachers and students to the opposite sex locker rooms, showers, bathrooms, and to allow them, and this is the thing that, remember, some of these teams travel. So when they travel and they have to spend the night, then the boy, who is confused, needs to be allowed to spend the night in the rooms with the girls.
But back to this attorney. I think the American Bar Association is behind or approving of all this stuff, too. So they're sending memos out to their attorneys saying that, you know, this is federal law now and all that, all this kind of
stuff. Right. I think what's happening is that there is such political correctness. I think they're sincerely people that, if they really thought this through, would stop and be saying, wait a minute, what am I saying? I think there are people that are, because so much of it is liberal, and their hearts are hardened, I think, so mm-hmm. much about how this really comes down, and that they do approve of it, unfortunately. But yeah, so many of these, you've got the National Education Association mm-hmm. behind it, so many of these education professional groups, the National School Boards Association, mm-hmm. and then the state groups are all on board with the homosexual and the transgender agenda, and they really aren't thinking about what this really means in the lives of children. This is insanity. This is child abuse.
Absolutely it is. And you're talking about placing the female students in danger. It's lunacy. But there was a recent survey. It was more like a census, but it was a survey done by the Williams Institute, which is a homosexual think tank. But the results of that survey was that only like, 500 or 700,000 individuals? It was less than a million in the United States who identify as transgender.
Right.
And we're catering to those individuals who are, who are confused about who they are.
Right.
To me, it's mind-boggling. I don't even have the words to explain how I feel when people are putting their stamp of approval on this lunacy.
Right. And what you really get the feeling of is like so much, I go back to the big picture. Here's the Obama administration and their lawlessness.
Yeah.
And their tyranny and the clear idea. Look at what's happening with the Ferguson situation, all mm-hmm. this. You get the feeling they want to stir things up and really, I hate to say it this way, but stick it to any kind of traditional values mm-hmm. and law-abiding anything.
To remake America, yeah.
And they want to defy authority. They mm-hmm. want to shake things up. They want revolution.
Yeah.
And so what they want to do is they want to challenge people at the most basic level and boldly go in and proclaim that, that up is down the blue sky is green and not blue,
yeah.
Anything, and lie with a straight face.
Oh, yeah.
And see how much they can get away with. And just they're daring us to stop them.
Oh, that is for sure. And I think Scripture says something about calling good evil and evil good.
Exactly.
I think Scripture addressed that.
But
I agree, too, that they are daring us to do anything to try to rein them in.
Right, and I think, I've thought about this a lot. I really believe that Barack Obama is a guy who has great problems with authority, and you look at his background and mm-hmm. how the males in his life totally abandon him and betray him, and what kind of symbol does that mm-hmm. does that send and start. But in the meantime, he and all these other folks they're ticked off, they are resentful, they are revolutionaries, and they're going with Saul Alinsky, and they're going to push this and dare us to stop them, and they take it down to the level of your precious children, and that absolutely, it is actually stimulating a lot of pushback, and in some ways, it might be mm-hmm. a gift. God is just revealing to us how diabolical this all is, so that we can respond.
Yeah, how devious and perverted it is.
Yes.
But even when, I think over, the vote was last night, and I think that, I think there were over 200 in that auditorium, or there was a large crowd anyway, maybe getting school situations mixed up, but there was a large crowd at that meet. Actually, it was 9:30 in the morning, so to me, that tells me that they don't want the working person to come to the meetings when they have it at 9:30 in the morning.
Exactly.
But there's still a large crowd showed up. And of course, there were the signs for and against. But this committee overwhelmingly approved allowing the boys to be on girls' teams, which, like you said, we talk about it, a team traveling. That also means boys who think they're girls can now sleep with the girls in the hotel rooms when the team's traveling.
Right.
But homosexual activists or transgender activists always say, well, there's nothing wrong with that because he thinks he's a girl, so there's no danger of sexual assault happening.
Mm-hmm. That is a lie, mm-hmm. another lie from the pit of hell, because I'm telling you, the record is clear that these folks are disturbed.
Yeah.
And there's an excellent, excellent website that it says noequalrights.com. Put together a ton of material on there, put together for the Houston situation where the openly lesbian Houston mayor was, again, trying to put forward a gender identity, sexual orientation, gender identity bill, and citizens rose up and a lot of churches got involved. For that purpose, some attorneys did some research and put together a long paper citing all the many cases there are where very disturbed transgender males try to get into women's facilities, their women's shelters, restrooms, and either do peeping Tom kind of stuff, mm-hmm. which is bad enough,
yeah.
all the way up to assault.
So this was
there's case after case of this.
So this was the list was put together by attorneys.
Right, and it's put together for the purpose of overturning that, which they've tried to do, and I hope their suit is successful down there in Houston. But it's down there, and they put this together, and it's a wonderful paper, and I urge people to get hold of it, because the mantra is that these are poor, pitiful people. Mm-hmm. They're harmless.
Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah.
It's not all of them are going to be harmful, but they are confused and emotionally disturbed mm-hmm. people. So, you know, this kind of deep confusion comes from someplace that is not good. And when that happens, you need to be very suspect that you can trust that person to always act rationally and safely. And then that doesn't even begin, that's what's going on with them, doesn't even begin to think about the reaction of girls who really would like a modest
mm-hmm.
environment with privacy.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you see this male who thinks he's a girl walking around with no clothes on in your hotel room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And some of these folks are quite big on, because they've already, they have already defied so much in their own heads anyway. They're quite big on exhibitionism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just part of the whole sexual anarchy.
Yeah.
You know.
Reminds me of Folsom Street Fair.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So I thought that Title IX was passed, became law, specifically to allow biological females to have equal access to school sports.
Right. It was,
so isn't this kind of negating that?
Right. It was passed in the early 70s and then I think amended somewhat in the 90s. But, yeah, it was for federal funding. Any school that receives federal funding is supposed to give equality for women's sports. And they're not supposed to practice sex discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
This is sex discrimination, as in who you were born to be.
Right.
Now, the way these folks, as you know, Diane, phrase this is they will say the gender assigned to you at birth.
Yeah.
If this is sort of a random process. Oh, we have so many boys in the, you know, in the delivery room today, we'll just make this one a girl. No,
yeah.
It's revealed at birth or sometimes before.
Mm.
It's not assigned. It is who you are, and you don't change.
Right.
You cannot change sex, the chromosomes, none of that stuff changes.
And you
so,
still have, well, go ahead, finish that.
Well, I was just going to say, what's happening with Title IX then, really, girls have a great lawsuit here, because this will undercut the scholarship opportunities at some point
for
these boys who are on hormones, and
mm-hmm.
they're still boys, and who are going to surpass some of the girls in strength and agility in some of these sports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, even now we hear about, like that basketball player, 50-year-old guy who's playing on the girls' basketball team at Nassau Community College in California, he stands a foot taller than anyone else on any team, on that team or any team that they've encountered. There's also a story, can't remember, again, it's a guy who thinks he's a girl, but he was allowed to box. I think it was box.
Right.
And, I mean, he, you know, it was boxing on a woman,
a real woman. He hurt some girls.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's lunacy, total lunacy. But I wonder if girls will have or schools will have the courage to file a lawsuit under Title IX, or will they not do it because this whole transgender movement has become so politically correct? And it'll be interesting to see if anyone does actually file a lawsuit under Title IX, because, you know, it seems like every few weeks there's a story about a school, a college or university, mostly the college or university, that has been sued under Title IX because they have, you know, too many men's teams compared to women's teams and all that kind of stuff. So it'll
right.
be interesting how this all plays out. And you mentioned earlier that parents are getting upset about this, understandably upset about this, you know, allowing young men who think they're women in their, you know, their daughter's shower room in school, et cetera.
I think what will happen is parents will sue. There'll
okay.
be some situation where, because I agree with you, the schools are unlikely to do this. They're so sold out. Or if they're not sold out internally, the pressures for you know, from all around them are. But I think it'll be a parent and a family where they see this result in their. Again, it's probably not going to happen right away because there's so few of these cases.
Yeah.
But as
well, only 10. Only 10 guys who want to be on the girls' team, 10 throughout the country. The whole concept is lunacy that they would change the policies for the entire state to allow boys who think they're girls on the girls' team. But I see, you know, as we see the affirmation of these individuals, we're going to see more and more kids coming out as transgender, even if we, as we've seen with homosexuality.
Right.
As they've been affirmed.
Yeah,
there's more and more coming out at younger ages now, announcing that they're quote-unquote gay. I think the same thing's going to happen with the transgender issue. What kind of world do we live in?
It is a horrible situation for our kids. We have so many kids who are being raised by very confused parents, number one.
True.
And that's where work starts with, or neglectful parents. And they are looking desperately for some kind of role model and identity, and these are kids that are just flailing. This is a huge red flag, and people ought to see it as that and not say, oh, they were born in the wrong sex body.
Yeah.
This is insanity. That's a real insane idea.
It is. And our kids are the ones who are paying for it, as we've seen in this social experiment called homosexuality. It's the kids who are paying for it, and I don't know how to turn the ship around. It will take a miracle from the Lord and real revival.
It will. And you know that verse at the end, I think it's Malachi, you know, at some point at the end, the hearts of the fathers will turn to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers.
Yeah.
I keep waiting for the hearts of the fathers and mothers of this country
to
really turn to their children and really be outraged about abortion, outraged about the sexual corruption, outraged about so many things that our kids are being, you know, used as guinea pigs. All the while, there's all these child protection things and ideas of, you know, we're doing it for the sake of the children.
We're doing it for the children.
And no, some of these people are so hard-hearted. The left is so hard-hearted about children, and this is just one more evidence of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the left is willing to use children as bargaining chips to get their way and to get their agenda pushed through, and to manipulate children in some cases, to convince a child that, you know, you need to lobby for this or for that. You know, you need to call your, you know, put pressure on your principal to allow this or whatever. And in some cases, even to send them to state capitals to lobby for particular bills and such, which is lunacy. So what can parents do? I mean, the parents in Minnesota, voice their complaints via email, I'm sure phone calls are made, they attended meetings, and still this commission voted as they did. What can parents do? Is that, you know, what can they do?
Well, the thing that always catches us, and where our side, I think, is could do a better job, is that we're caught by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything good that comes out of places like Massachusetts, where we've seen this stuff happen for years, and now Minnesota, is that in other states, parents need to prepare that this is going to come to your school district. The activists are ready. They're going to bring it to you. And then what do you do? Well, line up some people ahead of time who have a good story. There are people who have expertise and who are willing to go before the public and talk about this. There are ex-transgender people around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this happens, you know, some people need to get together, pay for a plane ticket for an expert witness or a key star witness to come in. And so,
get your Minutemen ready.
Get that ready. And here's the thing is get a parent group together in your community.
Mm-hmm.
If God is leading you to this, do it now before this happens, because it will happen.
Yeah.
And then get some money. The issue is that the dads of the community have to get together, open their checkbooks, and be ready to pay, if need be, for legal fees and expert witnesses to defy some of this stuff, because the school's not going to do it for you.
No,
professional groups are overwhelmed. On our side, we have no money and little manpower, and so, you know, so people need to do this. They need to find a group, and the dads say, we'll get together, and I will pledge my sacred honor and our fortunes to protect our children.
Hmm. Yeah, that language sounds familiar. How can folks contact you?
I'm at missionamerica.com, and I'm also on the radio in Ohio, but it's streaming live on WRFD.com from Columbus, and also I'm on barbed wire and WND.com.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, appreciate it, and you take care.
Okay, thank you so much, Diane, for all you do.
Okay, you take care. Now have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.